Welcome to the Hidden Palace with Sky Blaze. Good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I am Skyblaze, and this is the Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. Now, as many know, making a game is one thing, but to make a game that isn't a complete buggy mess is another. Something that some developers, Bethesda, could stand to learn. To do this, for consoles, you need a special device, a special adapted console, to make sure that everything on the game that you're developing works the way that it ought to. And this is the job of the development kit. And on today's show, we're going to have a look at a number of development kits, as well as a couple of other console oddities that I've come across, which I couldn't fit into any other show. So, let's get on with it, shall we? Starting from right from the beginning, we have the SNASM2. Now, this was created by a company called Cross Products, which is a British company based in Leeds, so not very far away from me. And this selection of development tools are used for the Mega Drive. Simply slotting them into the top of an ordinary Mega Drive will allow you to connect it to your PC and start developing games and checking for any bugs. Included in the SNASM2 is the Generator, G-N in capitals, and then Erator at the end, which is a separate console, a daughter board for the Generator, and a removable RAM cart, which has a 16 megabit of RAM, but can be upgraded to 32 bits. So, yeah, interesting that it was developed in Leeds. Which is not very far away from me at all. It's like an hour on the train. I wonder if the company still exists. I should look into that. Let's have some music though, shall we? Yeah, I've got quite a lot to get through, so let's have some music. Hello to people in the chat. So we've got Callum, Electric Boogaloo, BritGamer98, Doan, Nicholas Haman. I think Viper was around earlier, but he might be doing Winterfest test stuff. Anybody else who's around, give me a wave. Electric Boogaloo's just put a picture of the SNASM2 in the chat, so that's rather nice. So I'm going to play some music. So from our friends over at OC Remix, we've got composer Analog, who's done a track called Next My Generation, which is a remix of the Metropolis theme, I think. And after that, from the Blast Processors, we've got Scrambled Gravity, which is a cover version of the Death Egg theme from Sonic 3. Or Sonic & Knuckles, rather. So enjoy those, and I will speak to you again after the break. We'll be right back.
best Sega music, live shows, and the chance to request your favourites. This is RadioSega.net.
The Blast Processor's Scrambled Gravity, a remix of the Death Egg theme from Sonic 3 and Knuckles. I really like that cover. I know some people on the chat were saying they weren't sure about the lyrics, but I quite like it. And before that we had Analog's Next My Generation, which is a remix of the Metropolis Zone from Sonic 2, from our friends over at OC Remix. Yeah, there's some fun things going on in the Discord chat at the moment, because there's two people called Callum in the chat, which is very confusing, and I'm easily confused. So... whoops. Oh well. Brit Gamers just posted a thing which is like, excuse me, are y'all with the cult? And then there's the Radio Sega, we are not a cult, we are an organisation that promotes love. And I was like, yeah, this is it. What? I am confused. So, not only am I seeing double in chat, I'm also seeing very confusing memes. Oh well, let's get on with the show. Now, Sega, as we know, opened up its doors to a lot of different developers in an effort to try and outdo Nintendo back during the Mega Drive era. And this meant that they would need to provide more dev kits to a lot more developers who were trying to make games for the console. But due to their inability to meet demands, one developer decided to take things into their own hands and effectively make their own development kit. And that was Electronic Arts, or EA, who quote-unquote borrowed a development kit from a third party, reverse engineered it, and made a device called the Sega Probe, or S-Probe. Sprobe, I guess. That sounds weird. This box essentially was a blue metal box which contained the innards of a Model 1 Mega Drive, along with debugging equipment and an ability to connect it to a PC. As far as I can tell, only a handful of these devices were ever made, but supposedly Electronic Arts keeps a S-Probe on display at their headquarters. So that's pretty interesting. And Electric Boogaloo's just posted a picture of it in the chat. Yeah, it's a kind of blue metallic box. Is very industrial looking. I'll post a picture on the Twitter in a moment. But yeah, it doesn't look much like a games console. Let's put it that way. It looks like a sort of piece of equipment you'd see in a factory or something. It's quite bizarre. Electro Google has put a picture of the device with its lid off, so you can see the circuit board, the circuitry inside. And yeah, strangely, it has like S Probe on the front and it says Sega Game for unknown reasons. And there's a thing that says there's a big chunky switch that says power, and there's another chunky switch with reset, two controller ports. It's not immediately obvious what that is. What is that? Let's see if I can get a closer look. Cart enable is another thing that's on there. A headphone port is also on it. There's a two different power lights. I'm not really sure why. Yeah, it's a very peculiar looking thing, and the cartridge port just looks like somebody kind of vaguely sawed it out of the metal. It's really strange looking. But yeah, I'll show you on the Twitter in a moment. So while I'm posting to Twitter, let's have some more music. So from Dwelling of Jewels, I found a remix of a Electronic Arts game, so Road Rash. And this is a track called Concrete Kiss. And then we had a request from Nicholas Amann, and this is from Gain Ground, Europe in the Middle Ages Development. So I hope you enjoy those, and I will speak to you guys again after the break. We'll be right back. we are back. And that was Game Ground, arcade version, Europe in the Middle Ages, Development, which was requested by Nicholas Haman. And before that we had from MH, Road Rash Concrete Kiss, which came from Dwelling of Jewels. Now, going from the Mega Drive to the Mega CD, our old friends at Cross Products had developed an SNASM, that was really hard to say, dev kit for the Mega CD, which is designed based on the Mega Drive 1 and its Mega CD add-on. But instead of being two separate components, it is in fact one unit, with both parts available to use. On the back you'll have a connection to link it to a computer, and on the front you'll have DIP switches for both the Mega Drive and CD components, and the ability to change things such as the region for the respective consoles, along with toggle switches to enable or disable various components of the console. By this point, Cross Products were getting pretty good at making dev kits, and as a result they were in fact purchased by Sega in 1994, where they obviously considered to make dev kits, eventually moving on to the 32X. Now, I've not been able to find a whole bunch of information on the 32X dev kit, but there is one image that I managed to find, where you see that the device looks quite a lot like the SNASM2 kit, complete with the generator and daughterboard. You also get a modified looking 32X unit with an adapter on it, which allows you to connect it to the generator console. Electro Boogaloo has once again very helpfully posted a picture of the SNASM dev kit for the Mega CD, which as you can see looks quite flashy with lots of various lights and stuff on it. I'm not sure, because one of the infuriating things about the Mega CD is that on the Mega CD, it looks like there's a load of like LEDs and stuff, but it is in fact just a decal, they don't do anything. So I wonder if all the flashy lights on the dev kit version actually have a function. I suspect they do. And yeah, it is one hell of a chunky looking unit, that thing. It is quite hench. By contrast, the 32X dev kit does look like your average Tower of Power with various kind of like wires and bits hanging off it. It's not the most elegant looking thing in the world, is what I'm saying. Right then. Callum's saying, that has a lot of buttons and switches. I assume you're referring to the Mega CD dev kit. Yes, it really does. It looks very sci-fi. It's quite cool. Electro Boogaloo has posted a YouTube video. What's this? I can't listen to it at the moment because of my sound setup prevents me from doing so, but I'll watch it later. Oh, cool. There's a video about the Mega CD development kit. Cross Products one. Yes, I'll watch that later. Grateful, my husband is saying Sega Cyberpunk. Yeah, a little bit. It looks like those lights do actually have a function, which is very cool. Why couldn't we have had that on the actual Mega CD? All those little lights. I just like blinking lights, okay? I just like having flashy lights because I'm part magpie. Sparkly things and flashy lights, that's how you make me happy. Right, let's have some more music before this gets any stranger. Okay. So, from Echo the Dolphin on the Mega CD, we've got Welcome to the Machine, because I thought that was appropriate. And then after that, from Virtua Racing Deluxe, we've got the ending theme. Virtua Racing Deluxe was 32X, wasn't it? I mean, I can't remember. Oh well. I hope you enjoy those anyway, and I will continue with this after the break. Oh wait, a Brit Gamer is saying, with all those lights it looks like something out of Star Trek the original series. It kinda does, yeah. It kinda does. You could put that on the set of the original Star Trek and not have it look out of place. So if anybody needs a prop for a sci-fi series, there you go.
listening to Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.
Back, and that was Virtua Racing Deluxe, which is in fact on the 32X, I was correct, ha 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 ha, the ending theme. And before that we had Echo the Dolphin Mega CD, Welcome to the Machine. And yeah, it would have been nice if the various different versions of Virtua Racing actually had different names that were distinct from each other. They sort of did, because there was Virtua Racing on the arcade and the Mega Drive, Virtua Racing Deluxe on the 32X, VR Virtua Racing on the Saturn, Virtua Racing Flat Out on the PS2, and Sega Ages Virtua Racing, which is on the Switch. Because that's not confusing at all. This is a bit confusing. Oh, and Brit Gamers posted this. I imagine most of you have seen the news about the Tesla Cybertruck thing. Which looks like a early 3D graphics model. So it leaked an image of the Tesla Cybertruck sports model, and it's a car from Virtua Racing. Most people have been joking about it looking like something from Ridge Racer, but that works too. Virtua Racing works too. So, on with what I'm supposed to be talking about. As many of you will probably be aware by now, it is the 25th anniversary of the Sega Saturn. So, of course, I had to cover the Saturn dev kit, or a Saturn dev kit. This one is again made by Cross Products, and similar to previous kits, but we get a modified Saturn with a connector on the side to hook it into a PC, as well as a lead coming out of the case near the controller ports, which leads back to an address checker. The kit also includes some software which came on floppy disks, remember those, and a special cartridge which can fit into the cartridge slot on the back of the Saturn. So it sounds like this is a fairly complicated setup for this one. On the other hand, we had another strange looking Saturn which was uncovered and posted on the Codemasters, the developer's Codemasters, again based not far away from me. On their Twitter feed in early November, they were digging around in their quote-unquote vault, and they uncovered a pretty dusty-looking Saturn. But it was a lot bigger than most Saturns you tended to come across, because it extended backwards quite a long way, making it almost three times longer than a standard Saturn. Once they get to the back, the only ports visible on the back are a 3-pin kettle lead to power it, and what looks like a parallel port. I'm not entirely sure... I mean, parallel ports were still being used at that time period, but they were being phased out. So I'm not entirely sure what that was, unless it was some sort of proprietary connections. The remaining connections are all found on the front, and that includes an AV out, a serial port, and several dip switches, with 5 switches to aid in address checking, and then of course your power switch, reset button, and controller ports. Callum's asking what Codemasters are doing these days. They have been releasing some stuff. I know there was, fairly recently, there was, they did, I think they did the Dirt, the rally game, fairly recently. I can't remember what else they've been working on. Yeah, I'm not really sure what else they've been working on. I know that they've been doing quite a few racing games. They've got the F1 license. So that all of the Formula One games are theirs. But let's have some more music. So from I ran out of talk bed. So from Dark Savior we've got Heat Battle Fight, and then from Dragon Force, Tool of the Wicked God. Enjoy.
Sega music, live shows, and the chance to request your favorites. This is RadioSega.net.
are back, and that was Dragon Force, Tool of the Wicked God, which Grefor and Doan, I've been a GM for those, doing tabletop games, and I tend to use background music, and some tracks from Dragon Force were tracks that I used because of how atmospheric they were, and so they might recognise that track from some of the sessions. And before that we had Dark Savior, Heat, Battle, Fight. And I happen to know that Dark Savior is one of Doan's favourite games, so I hope they enjoyed that little selection there. Now, finally for today, we have, well, it's not a dev kit, but I found it quite interesting anyway, so I decided to add it in the end. The Super Prologue 21, also known as the Commander SKC-1000 or the SKC-1000C, depending on what model you're looking at. This device is actually a karaoke machine with an interesting hidden secret. Because hiding within the various internal circuit boards which allow you to badly belt out songs to your heart's content is in fact a completely functional Sega Saturn. If you happen to possess one of these devices, you can in fact take a hexagonal screwdriver to the panels at the front bottom of the device and they will open down to reveal the CD tray, which you need to push in slightly for it to release and allow you to pop games in. Then to the right of the CD tray is where you plug in your controllers. To access the Saturn on the Super Prologue is actually pretty simple. Once you've loaded your game of choice, power the machine up, and then once you start showing anything on the screen, press the Saturn reset switch hidden behind those panels I mentioned earlier. It will then restart and boot into the Japanese Saturn start screen. However, this device was only released in Japan, and could only be found in karaoke venues as far as I am aware. Having said that, there were quite a lot of karaoke venues in that time period, so it's possible that you could find one of these secondhand on eBay if you knew where to look. And you know how to read Japanese. BritGamer98 saying, is that a dev kit or a hi-fi? Yes! It's a Saturn hi-fi karaoke machine thing. It's the sort of thing that I expect somebody like Techmoan on YouTube or 8-Bit Guy to get their sticky mitts on at some point. So yeah, that would be kind of cool. Electrobubble has put up a video from somebody called Retrocore, the Sega Saturn you probably didn't know existed. Yeah. It's a pretty interesting thing. It's like, why use the Sega Saturn for this? It's really quite bizarre. Surely there were cheaper ways of doing this. I don't know. Weird. Callum's saying, I want to own a Sega branded CD player. Callum, did you tune into my episode last week? Because I did talk about the iWare Mega CD player, which was a CD player as well as a Mega CD device. Let's see if I can find the relevant tweet. Because that's got a picture of it. Yeah, there is also the portable CD player one, but there's... oh, good grief, where is it? The iWare device. And I bet Electric Boogaloo is going to beat me to it now. Oh, damn it. I can't find it. There it is. Copy link. There you go. So yeah, you have a choice of Sega branded CD players. So you've got the iWare Mega CD and the Multimega CD player, which the Multimega also works as a portable CD player. So yeah, you can have a pick from that. And yeah, the stream delay is pretty awful at the moment because we're having trouble with the interface between the streaming software and the server, and that the only way we can prevent a lot of problems is by having a lot of things like a 2-minute delay. Our admins are working on it, but it's a bit of a pain. Because a lot of the solution, the best solutions are quite expensive, and, you know, we work on a volunteer basis. So it's one of those things. Eventually it will be fixed. But let's have some more music before I run out of time and kind of rush right over Gavi. Assuming Gavi's doing Saturday Night Sega tonight, I'm not sure if he is. But let's have some music. So from Saturn Bomberman, we've got Samurai World. And then requested by Electric Boogaloo, we have Gale Racer The Glory True Ending. So enjoy those, and I will speak to you again after the break for Chiptune Corner. And we are back. And that was Gale Racer The Glory True Ending, which was requested by Electric Boogaloo. And then Saturn Bomberman Samurai World. And we've got Gavi here. Hello, Gavi. Saying, I always wanted a multi-mega. It just looks so 90s. Yeah, it does look a lot like the kind of mid-90s era portable CD players you tended to get. I'm not sure. The only thing that worries me about the multi-mega, because I kind of want one as well, is how good the jog protection is. You know, if you bounce it, does it buffer and prevent it from skipping? Can I say same for the Mega PC and the Nomad? Yeah, Dawan's got a Nomad, and I am not jealous at all, honest gov. I mean, who wouldn't want a handheld that could suck AA batteries dry before you inserted the damn things into the unit? I know, right? Although the Nomad's actually, because it's got quite a large battery component compartment, you can actually mod it fairly easily to take lithium-ion rechargeable batteries. Much like you can with the VMU, which I am going to do at some point with my VMU. Electric Boogaloo has also posted a YouTube video of a repair and a restoration that somebody's done of the that karaoke unit, the Super Prologue 21. Brick Game is saying, that Super Prologue 21 would be great in an entertainment sensor, considering that it's front-loading as opposed to the actual Saturn, which is top-loading. That's a good point, actually. Right, I should actually finish off the show and let Gavi do his thing. So, trying not to do a Rexy and overrun too badly. Sorry, Rexy, you know I love you. Right, for this week's Chiptune Corner, I'd like to suggest spotlight a Seattle-based musician called Fighter X, aka Nicholas Wolthood, who produced various types of electronica, mostly using his trusty Game Boy. This is quite common for chiptune artists to use Game Boys, possibly because they're pretty easy to get hold of and they're pretty easy to mod to make chiptunes. As well as composing his own original tracks, he's also done covers of iconic video game tunes such as the Legend of Zelda Overworld theme and the Final Fantasy VII version of the Victory Fanfare. So, we've got Umbra by Fighter X. Please let me know what you think of this. And I will speak to you again after the musical break to end off the show. We'll be right back. and for some reason my microphone decided it was going to stay on mute. So thank you to everybody who's tuned in today. I am drawing a bit of a blank on what I'm going to cover next week, so so suggestions to the usual place. And yeah, I was having a bit of an audio issue, I fixed it. So yeah, that was Umbra by Fighter X. I've dropped a link to his Bandcamp page on the Discord chat, so check that out if you want to. As I say, I'm not sure what I'm going to cover next week, but I'm sure I'll think of something. Or you can drop suggestions to Twitter, Facebook, or the Discord chat. However, the weekend after, on the 7th of December, there won't be a Hidden Palace, because I will in fact be hosting the first ever Radio Sega meetup, Last Call Live, at the Loading Bar in London. Myself and several other Radio Sega staff will be there from 3 p.m, so please come along. If you want any further details, you can look on the Radio Sega Facebook page, where you will find a link to the event page, so you can note your interest and find some more details about exactly where and when it's going to be. So I'll put a link to that on the chat as well, as soon as I find it. Let's call live, there it is. So yeah, please join in if you are going to be in the London area. Obviously those who are going to the Sonic Adventure Music Experience the next day, that would be pretty awesome if you could join us there, because of course I'll be going to that as well. So I've been Skyblaze, and this has been The Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. I hope you have enjoyed the show. I will leave you with this track from Rob KTA, which is Needle Mouse featuring Blind, which is a remix of the ending theme from Sonic 3. Thank you to everybody who's tuned in. Good night, everybody, and take care.
Enjoyed the show? Check out the full Radio Sega live schedule at radiose.ga/shows. Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.